and the privilege given to us as believers. In chapter 28 and 29 of the book of Exodus, God gave Moses the command about the priestly garment and commanded him in relation to it. But here in chapter 8, it describes how Moses was faithful in all God's house in carrying it out, the consecration of the priests, your hands being full. I believe a lot of believers are not conscious why they are saved. Many believe, I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I'm not going to hell. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yes, I'm on my way to glory. And we are waiting the rapture, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. I am looking for the uppertaker. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But saints, in the interim, the Lord wants us to be intelligent in relation to this priesthood, my function as a priest. And there may be some who are here that is saved, not breaking bread, not exercising the priestly function. You are not saved to sit down. You are saved because you are saved to function before God. And this is what chapter 8 is bringing before us. God wants us to be intelligent priests. Now, it's a big chapter. I am going to condense it as much as I can, because the prophet must speak two or three. Brother Kempton, I have here petition time. My time is some minutes to 9. I haven't changed my watch, but I'll try my best, Brother Kempton. We want to read some verses. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and the two ram, and the basket of unleavened bread. Verse 2 is like an introduction of the ingredients for the packet, for the chapter. So it brings before us, the saints are in view spiritually because of God's work. We are bound up with our high priest. And God said to Moses, bring these things. Likewise in verse 3, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The responsibility of keeping the charge. He says, I want everyone. You could imagine, everyone now leaves this room and come out at the door. And here, Moses is speaking to everyone, the young and the old. And all are listening to instructions. And I want to go through some things. I'm not going to open them up too big, too large. I'll try to keep it as simple as possible. The first word I want to bring is in verse 2. Take Aaron and his sons. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it tells us, no man take this honor unto himself. But it said of the Lord Jesus that God says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He was taken from amongst men. Do you know every believer is taken from amongst men to be a priest for God? Taken out from the world, taken out, secured by divine persons to be for him. Then, in verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons. The next thing, not only taken, they are brought. And this have two sides. They are brought to minister, to be ministers in the presence of God. What a privilege. What a privilege. I tell you here already that Lloyd Legister and Milton Jameson and myself went to Buckingham Palace. We walked down the road, long, long road, walking down, going down to Buckingham Palace. And when we got there, we saw a man with a gun stand up with this thing on his head. And you know what he was saying? He wasn't saying a word. But he says, so far and no further. The gate was locked. And you know what happened? We had to walk back again. It was so disappointing. Well, listen. God has opened the door. God has selected you, taken you from amongst men. And he has brought you to be near to him, to minister to him. And not only so, the other side is that you may be a blessing indeed for others. To minister, to have access into the holiest of all. You think that is just a simple, indeed, little privilege? This is what God has done. And he says, he was taken, then you were brought. Then he says, they were washed. Morally fit. Indeed, washed. Indeed, because, you know, the priest had to wash before he go into the sanctuary. You are washed. And how are you washed? By the word of God. This is not the blood. You are priests already. Indeed, you are washed. So now what it is, you are sanctified by the washing of water, by the word. You are cleansed. And the next thing happened, he tells us in verse 7, and he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put on him the ephod and girded him with the curious girdle and the ephod and bound it upon him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him also. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head. Also upon the mitre, even unto the forehead, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as Moses commanded. No, we had said in the reading that Aaron wore this, put on these clothes. This clothing was put on him to fit him for the office. It dignified him. But listen, Christ's person, we said, he qualifies because of who he is. He dignifies the office because of his person, not because of what he wears. So then they were taken, they were bought, they were washed, they were clothed. Verse 12. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put upon them the girdle, and girded them with the girdle, and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. They was anointed and sanctified. Now, the Spirit of God, the anointing is this, that God, the Spirit, comes up on an individual and equips him and qualifies him for the office to which he anointed him for. That's why you find there are some individuals, that's why they said to Peter and John, hey, where you come from? You are ignorant and unlearned men. But they took note that they had been with Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. The Spirit of God is upon every believer, not only to do a work for God, but also to function in the sanctuary and to approach God intelligently. Then he says, sanctified, set apart for God's sacred service. Verse 14, and he brought the bullock of the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock of the sin offering, and he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, and poured the blood of the at the bottom of the altar, and sanctify it to make reconciliation or atonement upon it. Now, here it is. We said earlier on that they had to offer something for themselves and then for the people. But this is for them. His sons came with Aaron and put their hand on this bullock. All that they were is transferred to this bullock and passed on to him figuratively. The bullock was killed for sin offering that they could approach God. Then after that, they brought a ram. And a ram was for burnt offering, and the burnt offering is for acceptance. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, we are accepted in the beloved. They took their hands and put it up on the ram for burnt offering. And all that the ram is in its acceptance is transferred to them. So they are accepted in the acceptableness of this ram. But then there was another ram. And this is where, let me just read verse 18. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the head of the ram. And he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he cut the ram in pieces, and Moses burned the head and the pieces and the fat, and washed the inwards and the legs in water. And Moses burned the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice, for a sweet smell, for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. What a blessing. His head, his inwards, and his legs. He knew no sin. In him was no sin. And he did no sin. The burnt offering aspect of the death of Christ. All of this is the consecration of the priest. All of this is very important to you and to me. It's very instructive. What is God saying to me in application? What it is bringing out is this, that God is preparing us to function in his presence. We have been taken, we have been brought, we have been washed, we have been clothed, we have been anointed, we have been sanctified. And now, indeed, sin has completely removed morally. We are ready to go into God's presence. The burnt offering, I'm not now caught up with my sin when I'm going in. I am caught up with the beauties of that man into whom I have been accepted. The wonderful one who is God. Indeed, delight in him, and we are in him. He said in verse 22, and he brought the other ram. The ram for consecration, the ram for full hands, to fill your hands. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. I want to make this application. With the sin offering, put his hand on the bullock. And I tell you, when you put your hand on a bullock, believe me, some fear come into the heart. This big animal. There was a young lady. We told her, listen, this bullock is butting. Be careful. She didn't want to hear. She said, I've been working down in this abattoir so long. And no bull never but me. She said, okay. The guy says, please, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah? The bull get away, shot past all the men, and just jam it to a truck and do so, and throw over the truck. Since I handle cattle every week, and I tell you, I respect them very much. But when you could put your hand on a bullock, believe me, it means this bullock is subdued and it's tame. It is ready to surrender. When you have a ram goat, my neighbor next door had a ram goat. And what happened? The ram goat, he came over to my house. I said, Mr. Baptist, you want a piece of meat? I said, what kind of meat? He had a chicken farm. So I thought it was chicken. He said, no. I'm going down to take that ram right now down to the abattoir. I said, what happened? He bent down to pick up some eggs. And the ram hit him. Bam! Knock him over. And he said to me, he ain't staying in my yard tonight. I got a piece of meat. You could imagine putting your hand on that ram. That speaks of Christ in all his vigor, in all his delight for God, zeal for God. And you putting your hands on this, and this wonderful ram is all going up to God, and God smelling this aroma. But now is the ram of consecration. I am saying, when I put my hand on this ram, that I am surrendering and I am identifying with the full hands, that I am dedicating myself to the priestly function that God is calling me to. You know, people want to be evangelists. I love winning souls to Christ. Pastoral work, I love it. But I tell you this. If you have been saved, your hands have been filled, and God wants to show you his responsibility of what he has done to bring you into his presence. God says to Moses, he took the blood of this ram here, and he put it on, let me read it, verse 23, and he slew it. And Moses took the blood of it and put it up on the tip of Aaron's right ear, and up on the thumb of his right hand, and up on the great toe of his, right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses did the same. He did the same. He put it up on his right ear to get instructions from God in relation to serving him. On his right thumb to serve in God's presence and walk as a priest in this world. The Levites had no inheritance. God was their portion. And what the people brought, they ate. And in chapter 7, you have priestly food. I tell you, saints, and to realize, indeed, their ears have been touched. Their thumb has been touched. And their right toe has been touched. My hearing, my service, and my walk. But when it comes, now God is going to fill your hands. And fill your hands with what? Fill your hands with Christ, that you may come before him and wave it. This is the consecration of the priest. When you think they wanted to find the next pope, which is, they found him. And they, all of these cardinals came together to say, which is the next pope? And black smoke came out. They says, wow, they didn't find him. Then white smoke came out. They says, ah, they found him. How God secures his priest? Is by smoke? How God calls you to the priesthood? A young brother who is in fellowship with us in St. Kitts. They sent him from Dominica. They sent him to Canada to learn to be a priest. For the priesthood. And if you see the things, the rituals they take them through. He says, and he explained to us. I says, listen, God didn't take you all through this trap indeed to ensnare you and indoctrinate you. All God wants is to bring you as a priest to function before him. So now the hands are open. And look what Aaron is going to do. Verse 25. And Aaron took the fat and the rump and all the fat upon that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder and out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord. He took one unleavened cake and a cake of oil bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder and he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands. Let's deal with this. It sung real messy. It sung real, real messy. Because listen, when you get fat in an animal, you find there's some fat around the kidney. You find on the wall of the animal, there is fat. And there's some fat above the liver. And there is some, indeed, as I say, around the kidneys. All of that was to be taken. It was for God. And then he says, take all of that. Then the rump is, you know, like the buttocks. You see, a lot of meat. And they have it there. And then he says he wants above the liver and the two kidneys. And their fat. The kidney speaks of discernment. And he says that the liver is like a filter. And he says here, and the right shoulder, which speaks of strength. And out of the basket of unleavened bread, you take. He said, he take one unleavened bread, which speaks of the moral perfections of Christ. You know, real sincerity and truth. He is wonderful. He's that one who is morally upright. And a cake with oil. And a cake of oil. This is Christ mingled, saturated with the Spirit of God. Now, all of this is in Aaron and his son's hands. You could imagine all the oil that is souping and is dripping. And they had to come before God with their hands full. The fat, the kidney, the bread, and all, and they upon this shoulder, and they have it in their hands. What they did. Hear what it did. Verse 27. And he put all upon Aaron's hand and upon his son's hands and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took them from off their hands and burned them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrated for a sweet savor. It is the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. For the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's put some New Testament teaching to this. Every believer, as I says, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Every believer in this room is a priest. God has called you. He has taken you from amongst men. He has brought you to minister in his presence. You have been washed, morally cleansed. You have been clothed. You have been anointed. You have been sanctified. Your sins to function is taken care of. Likewise, it tells us you are accepted, but now God has prepared you to listen to him, to serve for him, and to walk for him as a priest. But now your hands are full with Christ, and you're coming in before God, and God is saying, do you know, I have consecrated you to be a priest in my presence, and you're taking this lightly? Listen, I sometimes shudder. I am frightened at some believers. Indeed, a young guy said to me in a place, I asked him, boy, I've been here 2 weeks. And what happened? You're not breaking bread. He said to me, well, upright young man, you know. Well-mannered, well-behaved. You know, he said to me, I ain't ready yet. Ha, ha, ha. I ain't ready yet. The priests don't have that prerogative. He gave up his rights. He has to function for God. And God called him to function in his presence. I said to him, listen, I wouldn't want to walk in your shoes. Because you are consecrated. You have been called. You have been brought. You have been washed. God did everything. He filled your hands. And you telling God, hey, when I ready, I am coming. Indeed, imagine. Look at how the great high priest functioned. Indeed, what he went through. How he offered up himself to God without spot. How indeed he went in. And access has been achieved. Access been achieved. So my hands is full. What, I'm coming to God empty? Access been achieved. I'm a priest. I've been consecrated. Christ is on my hands. He is filled indeed in my hands, and I've been placed there. And now I'm coming before God, and I waving this before God and saying, oh God, my hands are full. I am consecrated to this priesthood to which you have called me. Then after, for years, you get baptized, and I'm not ready yet. What is the problem? It's not, I'm waiting to feel something, you know, and the feeling ain't come yet. Feeling? Hear what God says in verse 3, and gather all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle or the tent of meeting for the of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. Commanded to be done. Nothing to offer as a priest. Here your hands are filled. And God is saying, what are you going to do as a priest? What do you have to give God? What are you bringing? You see, a lot of people believe because they're not in fellowship, they're not breaking bread, they believe they could live as they please. It's not true. You are priests if you're breaking bread or not. But the thing is, you are saved. You have been called to minister into God's presence. What a privilege to be called to minister into God's presence. You know, it was, this is, by the way, what a privilege it is to serve in certain places. Certain places. And it says there are some jobs men covet because they come with perks, they come with real privileges. And it says, wow, look where you're serving. But the greatest service on this planet is to serve in the presence of God. And I tell you, young people, you ask, what is holding you back? Well, I don't know if I will be faithful. Listen, you know, reading Mr. Kelly, I don't like to call these men name, but forgive me. Mr. Kelly said, you know, anytime a person stop missing the breaking of bread, please go after them. It's the first sign that they are losing desire for their priestly function. Don't come to meeting empty. Don't come to meeting to hear something from someone. You bring something for God. You glean something for Him. And don't come with your hand empty as a priest. You could imagine you come before God and God waiting to hear something from Christ. And, oh God, I have nothing. I have nothing. When you read chapter 7 and you see a couple days, you have to burn it. You have to throw it away. You have to burn it, sorry. Because God wants something fresh. What do you want? Do you want to be a priest? Well, listen, you are. Let's go to Peter, 1 Peter, quickly, and I'm going to take my seat. First Peter chapter 2. As I say, there are 16 things that is true of a Christian in this chapter. Verse 5. He also, as lively stones, have built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, we said it in our reading that God is not asking us to bring in here any bullock. He's not asking to bring in any sheep, any goat. But we do. I tell you, I had a cattle head at home in a freezer. And my wife went downstairs and opened the freezer. She took off running. And she tell me, get it out that freezer right now. It's like that verse that God said to Abraham, listen to thy wife. I got it out the yard. I give it to a guy. Because she said she couldn't go in the house with this cattle head in the thing there. God is not asking none of that. What God is asking is for spiritual sacrifice. To be offered up. What it is. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 15. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is, the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. Oh man. to come and give thanks. No, the sisters, we know your role or the position God has given to you. But don't believe you come without something, you know. The Lord takes it from the heart and presents it to God in his own divine perfection. And I want to just touch quickly chapter 10 before I take my seat. Chapter 10 and verse 19. As we were discussing about the tabernacle and the way into the holiest of all, it has been achieved, as we said. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We are consecrated for this place. We can go in because our hands are full. God has qualified us. God has equipped us to function in his presence. So let's go in. Indeed, he says, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near. So if it has been achieved, and I am a priest, and God is saying the door is open, come on in. Come on in and minister to me. That's why I save you. That's why I taken you out from amongst men. That's why I washed you. That's why indeed I brought you to me. That's why I anointed you, clothed you, and indeed sanctify you. Indeed, have you accepted sin gone, as it were, never to be remembered anymore? And now your hands is full. Your ears has been touched. Your thumb has been touched. Your toe has been touched. So you're listening to me. And indeed, you're serving me. And you're walking in light of my presence. He says here, now I go in intelligently because my hands are filled with Christ. And I bring him. So access has been achieved right in to the holiest of all. But now, it needs to be appropriated. It's one thing to have access. It's another thing to appropriate it. You know, they burned down the prison in St. Kitts. And they burned it down when they fixed it back up. They say, no preacher coming in here. They run Archbishop Smitten out of the prison. So, I showed up. They said, hey, Mr. Baptiste, they run Archbishop Smitten out of the prison, you know. Where are you going? I said, God sent me up there. And I'm going. They're looking at me. Because Smitten is a big man, you see. So they says, I'll be mincemeat. I tell them, open the door. Just open the door. And I went up. The place was so dirty. I said to them, hey, come on, fella, start cleaning up this place. We're going to have service today. We're going to have service today. The men start cleaning up the place. Clean up the place. After about 15 minutes, one of the guards come up, probably to see if I was alive. Indeed. But he came. And he joined the service. And we had a service. And wonderful. Listen, when he opened the door, I had access and went in. And when I went in, God took care of those prisoners. I tell you, the men started cleaning up the place. Everybody came out, listened to the service. Indeed, beloved, listen, you start walking. The door is open. Come, please, because God longs for you. He said, look, my priest, that I have sanctified and set apart for my sacred service is coming to give me something about my son. That's what God wants. And yeah, you're sitting down for years and indeed rubbing God. When God said, listen, can a man rub God? Oh, yes. He says in tithes and offering. That's the only verse they talk about. Tithes and offering. But bring anything. Indeed, they offer him the lame. They offer him what the dogs tore up. But God wants the best. He wants the best. Appropriate it, please. And hear what he says. He tells us, let us draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And now, this is where not only achieved has an access has been achieved, and I need to appropriate it, but I need to appreciate what God has done. Hear what he says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Saints, I see a danger. I see a danger in the Caribbean. And this is it. We have a lot of professionals in the meeting. A lot of professionals. Educated people. Very educated. Masters. My kids also. PhDs. The devil is wise. He has gone to work in the assembly. You're not sinning. You're not going out and running around and drinking and getting drunk and stuff. But he said, you know what? I'll keep them from coming to the meeting. Boy, I tell you, you're on a treadmill. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, the best thing I could give to my children is not a house. It's not money in the bank and leave a good will and a good education. The best thing is a godly life. Give them a godly life. Let them see Christ. What is important to you will be important to them. But the moment, we push our kids so much to get much of this world that we forget what you've been consecrated for. Please fix a balance. I am not saying don't get an education. My 3 children went to university. But I tell them plain and simple, hey, you could get what you want. But I tell you this, it's God who made the brains. It's God who gave you the ability. Don't rob him. Don't rob him. Hey, they are big people now. My son bigger than me. Last daughter bigger than me. I'm the small boy in the house. So now, indeed, what I go tell them, hey, you hear what I say? You better. My son will tell me, sit down, daddy, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. These are reality sins. God is getting robbed. And God has blessed the saints' children with good brains. With good ability. And you know what? Boy, they're giving it to the world. And God is getting nothing. When they come Sunday morning, they're tired. They're thinking about the homework that needs to be done. Oh, I tell you, there's a young guy, and I'll sit, take my seat. There's a young guy. They pulled that stunt on him, you see. We have a young men's group. And every Monday, they put his class 6:30 to 7:30, 8. I said, boy, Jermani, how is this? He said, Brother Bran, I will run away. I'll run away and come. I thought he was joking. So he showed up. I said, what happened? He says, I asked the teacher. I told her what was important to me. 14 years old. 14 years old. I commend him. I told his mother, says, the boy have something that big people don't have. What is important, saints? You are going to die and leave it right here. You ain't taking nothing with you. Naked you came into this world, and naked you're going to leave. Your PhD, you're living right here. Your master's, you're living right here. Your BA, you're living right here. Listen, your skills, you're living right here. But please, when you get there, it's Christ. You are consecrated. And I challenge you, who's sitting in the back, the young people, and have been saved for so long, been baptized and not breaking bread. Don't ask us to accept that. I want you to ask God, God, what do you think I should do? He will give you an answer. I saved you to serve in my presence, to be a priest unto me. What a privilege. A priest unto me. Come in, into this place of glory and beauty, and serve me. Give me, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Christ. I tell you, you do it, young people. And I'll tell you, never regret it as long as you live. May God bless you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Give you peace.